You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. The Ides of June, 15th of June, 2015. Oh, it's almost palindromic. 15, 1 and 5 is 6, so it's, oh my God, it's a 666 day. I shouldn't have thought. I shouldn't have started looking at the date. That was a bad move. Anyway, hello everybody. Welcome to Journeys with JP, with my co-host Nancy Hopkins and special guest for a very short time. I don't know how long you're going to be on, but beaming in from the biosphere, Tolek himself. Hello, how are you?
Hi. Well, I'm not in the biosphere right now, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I've got these little glass balls, glass spherical things that I have on my desk, you know, and I always think of biospheres. But there's one which is adventuring, so it's green, and it's got this floor that runs right down the middle of it. It looks just like a reptilian slit eyeball. I don't know why I have that thing looking at me. It's a bit like the thing at Mordor.
There it is.
So hang on, I'm just going to turn it to the side, and now it looks more like Neptune. There we go.
Okay.
So I just want to, this is Nancy. Nancy's my co-host on Journeys here, and you'll be interested to find out that Nancy is living in Florida near the Coral Castle. So Nancy?
Nice. Yes, nice to meet you, Tolek.
Hi, Nancy. Pleasure to meet you. Where is the Coral Castle located? I've never
heard Coral Castle? Coral Castle?
Yeah, yeah. Where is it?
Where is it?
It's in South Florida, and it has a history. You see it on the History Channel on some of these different shows. And it was built by one little guy that weighed maybe 120 pounds. And it's been attributed that he had some kind of a understanding of energies that allowed him to basically build. It's like when you walk into the place, there's a wall around it, a coral. And inside there are all of these like tables and chairs and place to cook, and then all these astronomical kind of structures that he's got that align with different stars, and just amazing just to look at it. The problem right now is that you go there and they're saying, oh, he used levers and pulleys and this sort of thing. But when I was there, I've been there many, many times. That was the first time that they took that attitude. And I was there many years ago and met somebody that was familiar with Ed's work. And he showed me things that I have to now, knowing what I know, think of as Orgone devices. So I don't know why they've changed the tune there, but to me, he was a mystical being. And I used to tell everybody, go there, but there's been so much deterioration of the coral because they can't protect it, they can't fix it because it's a historical place, and so there is deterioration. And then these people saying what they're saying is like, you know, the magic is kind of taken away from it. But it was magic, and Ed certainly was.
Well, I get to Florida from time to time. So is it? I'm just trying to understand: is it on the East Coast or the West Coast?
Yeah, it's like in South Miami.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow, the bottom of the state. Yeah.
Bottom of the state. Yes.
Yeah. Which I understand, and I've talked to some friends who said they've had some considerable flooding in the streets of Miami. Not so recently, but during springtime when they had some of the rains.
Well, the problem with Florida is that you have, it's basically a floating coral bed, for lack of another way of explaining it. It's all limestone. So
right.
The water that we get to drink is actually rivers that have gone underground from Georgia and dug their way through the aquifer. So when the aquifer is down, you can absorb a lot of water. It goes into the aquifer. But if the aquifer is full, there is no absorption. And so certain low-lying areas will build up water very quickly. So it really is dependent upon how much water and how full the aquifer is in any given rain event. I know because I flooded out here, oh, I think a half a dozen times. One time I had 4 feet of water in the house.
Wow.
So it can be very, very, because it's unpredictable. I mean, that 4 foot thing was, there was no storm. It was storm after storm after storm following the same trail. That was the first time I heard of training. And one storm after another hit an area that was probably a mile and a half wide. We had 20 inches in there. And so other people outside of that were going like, what are you talking about? And yet the people inside that particular chain of events were in dire straits. Luckily, President
sure.
Clinton had flown into Miami International Airport and was going to an event that was in this area and couldn't get here, and he was able to declare a federal emergency. Otherwise, we would have been screwed.
Jeez. We have different water events in the desert southwest where there's all sorts of soil out there. But in any case, whenever it rains too much, there's not enough water absorption, and there's nowhere for the water to go, so it just kind of, in any low-lying areas, like typically we don't have any water in what are called rivers. The riverbeds are all dry until it rains. And because Tucson, where I've lived for many years, is in a valley, all the water wide, completely dry, go to 200 feet wide, completely full, 15 to 20 feet deep. I saw a car floating by one time, boxes, plastic shopping crates. It's amazing what can happen in the desert when water has nowhere else to go.
Well, so, but here's the thing. Where Nancy is and also the Coral Castle, was a part, I believe, of the kind of western edge of Atlantis and the Bermuda Triangle kind of things going on there. And, you know, I'm pretty convinced that Lead Scalnin, Ed Lead Scalnin, who built the Coral Castle, used a form of electromagnetic radiation, like a EMF thing, that pinged the frequency of the coral.
Okay.
That made it, first of all, made it, he could cut it, I believe you could cut it with a knife. Because everything's been carved so fluidly. It doesn't look like, you know, he didn't make a lot of noise about it. So I think he basically had one frequency that would turn the thing into a sort of cheese-like consistency. And another one that would make it as light as a feather. And he was able to do some incredible tricks using that technique, I think.
Hmm. Okay.
So, go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. You had an, by the way. Okay, all right, well, it's time to switch off the Wi-Fi because that's going to go off now. It just is. Sorry, I'm getting some interference here. I hope that I'm still... Right, am I still with you and Nancy? No, it's me. All right. No, I can't do that. I can't do that now. I have lost the thing. Oh, I love it. I love it. So, home network, there we go. And it takes a few clicks and a few long moments to turn off the Wi-Fi, which will improve my signal. Once it's improved, it'll be fine. Uh-huh. There we go. Okay, what's happening? Uh-huh. Right, and so let's see. Are we back?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. We're just coming back with the studio. Let me just grab the studio once again. And sure. There we go. Right, okay. Don't know what happened there, but maybe my neighbor was uploading pictures of things. But that stopped him. Anyway, so we should be getting the buffers working on Wolf Spirit. Let me just flick that over and... yes, and then add Scotty Sovereigns. Yeah, so here we are. Let's see. Are we still? No, I still have a bit of issue. But Tolek, you were just about to say, "By the way," and then it all got knocked off. Can you remember where that "by the way" went? Which way that went? Okay, so we're back on Wolf Spirit Radio, and let's see if we can get the call back. All right, so what's happened here? Okay, all right.
I just went over to, Jay's back. Just went over to Revolution, and I don't even see the chat coming up.
Yeah, can you drop the call, please?
Might be the station.
Whoever made the call, can you just drop it, and then I need to take the call over. People, hi, hello. Hi, Nancy Tolek. Hello. Ah, now that you can hear me. God, it's like being a ghost. All right. Yeah. There we are. Are you there?
Okay, so now I'm seeing something happening over here on chat.
Drop the call now, please.
You want me to drop?
Yes, please. Okay, now we're back on the air, and God, I don't know what happened there. We got very massively hit, and so we're back with Tolek. Are you with me,
Tolek? Here.
Yes,
I'm here.
And Nancy, we're all back in. So from sea to sea, from coast to coast, we're all back in, and nothing's toast. So where were we?
We were talking about the uniqueness of South Florida and the properties of a coral reef.
Yes, the coral reef.
Yeah, and Nancy, I want to throw out a question to you. Have you ever heard of an area? I heard about this just a couple of months ago from a good friend of mine by the name of Adona, and she had learned about something called Autec, AUTEC, which is supposed to be a portal to other dimensions, other universes, as discovered by a French UFO hunter called Maximilien de Lafayette. And supposedly it's off the coast of West Palm Beach, of all places, which is relatively north to Miami, I guess like an hour and a half north. Have you ever heard of this?
I have not heard of that particular term for it, but the Atlantean Merkaba is right off the coast in that way. I mean, it's a little south of there. We know that that's there. Actually, somebody, and if you go and you Google it, you'll find somebody saw the pyramid. Well, the pyramid, you know what a Merkaba is, and they saw part of the pyramid. It's a blue pyramid. And our friend Walt Silva, who does shamanic journeying, he was taking a shamanic journey for a client and got hijacked. And he ended up with I introduced them to him as mermaids because that's the way they were introduced to me. He tells me that since he's been, on a shamanic journey and met these people, that they're actually Lemurians. And they led him to the Merkaba in Atlanta, or the Atlantean Merkaba, and it was off tilter. It was leaning. And so he asked Gaia, he said, Gaia, is this supposed to be happening? Why you brought me here, you know? And she was like, no, you got to fix it. He called in all of the beings that had built it, damaged it, trying to use it, everybody that had anything to do with it, called them all in and said, fix it, in the name of Gaia, in the name of humanity. And so then it was like, now he sits, he's there, and he's going like, well, okay, how do we fix it? And what he saw happen, he saw all these geometric forms start to come together around the Merkaba until they connected into what's called a fullerene, which is a carbon-60 molecule that you can only find in shungite. And he works with shungite. All of his devices, energy devices, are shungite. So as the fullerene geometrically, etherically started to build itself around the Merkaba, as it started getting closer and closer to itself to make the structure, it was taking the Merkaba itself and writing it. And so, you know, but it didn't seem to be on. And so he asked Gaia, is this supposed to be on? Are we supposed to do something more? And she said, no, it just had to be in place. So he left it in place. And then months later, he was doing another shamanic journey, and he ended up on a weird thing with a stargate. And while he was in the oceans, he was, oh, by the way, whatever did happen to that Atlantean Merkaba? And they didn't take him there, but they gave him a picture in his head of etheric entities trying to re-damage it. And he said that they were firing stuff. He says, you know, like a big explosion thing, but within very far out from where the pyramid and the fullerene were, it just disintegrated. Whatever they were trying to hit it with couldn't get through the field. So there is one out there. It is not active yet, to my knowledge. They are going to activate it in a simultaneous way when the human DNA turns on. It's being built within us. It's all there structure-wise, but until the planet is absolutely, you know, tweaked to perfection for the new reality, the human beings will not, that explosion of the turn-on of the DNA will not happen. So that's why they had to have it in position. And I think it's going to happen rather sooner than later. So, but yes, it is there.
Very interesting. I've never heard that story. Wow. So, a higher dimensional Merkaba surrounding a physical pyramid that's underwater.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The pyramid is, I mean, when you look at the picture, I think if you Google Bermuda Triangle Pyramid, you'll probably find it. There was a number of pictures that were taken. Whether or not they lost because it was right after a storm had come through. So the sand was off of it. You know, and you can see, the pictures are pretty awesome. So to me, it was more like the top part of the Merkaba versus a pyramid structure standing by itself. But it could have been just the pyramid with the Merkaba inside of it. We don't a lot of times understand the complexities of the geometry.
Is it a triangular top that people saw, or a square pyramid top?
To be honest, I would, in my mind, I'm thinking it's a tetrahedron, but it could have been.
Yeah.
It's so, like I say, it was a Merkaba. It's murky, but clear enough you knew what you were looking at. Yeah.
Yeah, JP, I can understand the question because many of the pyramids of the Aztec, the Maya, you know, down through Central America have that unique kind of rectangular top as compared to triangular. So I understand the source of the question.
No, I'm also talking about tetrahedral form. Talking about tetrahedral form, yes?
Right.
Triangular points. Anyway,
right.
From Atlantis, from the underwater Atlantean base, to the Highlands of Scotland and all across the world. We're here on Revolution Radio. I have to do the station thing, which is we are 100% listener supported, fully grown, homegrown, organic, and pesticide free. We have we're a listener supported station. One way you can support and the benefit too is to buy the seed pack. You can buy seed packs for yourself or a community. And when you buy those heirloom seeds, that you get a further guarantee that Monsanto won't take over the world. So please do that and help the station raise some money. Otherwise, you can subscribe to the archives of Revolution Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio as well for very mere monies per month. Do please visit us and come along to the chat rooms, the Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and also Wolf Spirit Radio at wolfspiritradio.com/listen. And there's a good bunch of people in both chat rooms. So, to business. Tolek, there's some new stuff going on. I had the opportunity to kind of glance through some of the material on your site. Didn't have that much time because, you know, we just got in touch. And I thought, got some spare time. Do you want to come on and give the people a word about it? It's it looks very, very exciting and very, very good news.
Well, it's in some ways it's brand new, and in some ways it's older material that is, let's see, 4 years old. But it's revelatory because this is the first time that I've publicly said that out of the 15 Draco and Hydra reptilian undersea bases that the people from Cana, planet Cana, the Procyon star system, senior member of the Andromeda Council, out of those 15 bases that they destroyed, the last one, which I did a report on in March of 2012, I believe I revealed it to you. I know I revealed it to Mark Snyder of Ohio Exopolitics and Chris Geo of Truth Frequency Radio.
No, certainly. We talked about it on the show.
Yes, yes. And I did it in private. And I've just released it publicly because it's one of those situations where I just felt that intuitively it was the right time to come out with this information. And I write about it extensively on the website. But suffice it to say, as the saying goes, the last undersea base that was destroyed was off the mid-Atlantic coast of the U.S., here in the States, as they say, and it was directly off the coast of Washington, D.C. And it's worth mentioning because it gives greater context to what has happened and over the past 4 years overall, and what has happened specifically since the end of March 2012 in terms of an apparent unraveling, if you will, of the power structure of this planet. You could call them the human elite, you could call them the powers that be, but if people are paying attention to the information, JP, that you and guys like Chris Geo and Mark Snyder and many others talk about, and that there's a growing internet public interest in, I think people will find that there has been a substantial ratcheting up of changes that are happening at all levels of society, government, for the planet itself, across this planet. And in terms of power structure, the direct relevance is that, and I use this phrase, the head of the snake was cut off, because that undersea base where the people from planet Cana found 10,000 Draco and Hydra reptilians, and they ended up capturing as prisoners of war 2,000 of the highest military cabal, military officials, and Illuminati officers, if you will, brought them to trial on the Andromeda Council Biosphere, and they were tried, they were sentenced, well, interestingly enough, they were found guilty. And some of them chose self-extermination. Some of them chose mind reprogramming, and some of them chose to go to the far reaches of the universe to live and never be heard from again. And it's all relevant because, again, it seems that there's a lot going on in terms of why are things changing at the pace that they're changing? Why have they been changing at what seems to be a relatively fast pace? JP, I know that you and I are somewhat close in age, and if you think back to the changes that have happened on this planet, things are happening pretty slow through, you know, you get through the major wars, you get into the beginning of technology and connectedness at the end of the 90s and into the 2000s. And it seems that once we hit the 2000s, things have been going at a very rapid pace. Well, in terms of why is the power structure of the cabal diminishing, it's because this last base of Draco and Hydra reptilians, which pretty much gave marching orders, if you will, to all of the global human elite on the planet, that power structure is gone. And as I indicated on the website, there's probably about 70 or so pure reptilians left on the planet, likely underground in some different caverns and or small operations, and probably about 100 human reptilian hybrids that kind of work as passers of remaining orders, whatever they can attempt to get done with the human power structure on the planet. And I spend some time going into detail about this on the website. But what's new is the fact that it's the first time I'm revealing that last undersea base was off the coast of the eastern seaboard of the U.S., directly east of Washington, D.C., which, interestingly enough, puts Washington, D.C. in the middle, and due west of Washington, D.C. is where the same people, the people of planet Cana from Procyon star system, destroyed the underground base. People remember that August of 2011 earthquake, parenthetic earthquake, that cracked some buildings and shook the East Coast. I think it registered at 5.
Didn't it crack the top of the pyramid on the top of the obelisk?
The tholus, yeah, sure did. And it's unheard of to have an earthquake on that part of our continent. And the earthquake occurred because that lattice network connected underground base west of Washington, D.C. was thumped pretty hard by a series of highly compressed, deep resonance sonic blasts, plural. That's how that base was taken out. And a lot of people speculated, but I can tell you firsthand, that's how that base was taken out. It was thumped really good. That thing has collapsed. Period. End of story.
All right. I remember, I think this is the one that David Wilcock was also talking about, that they portal in a huge, you know, like they'll put a portal between a place where the temperature and pressure is really high and the base, and when they equalize, the everything is just basically crushed into the in the base.
You know, he made reference to, he made some kind of, I will call it oblique reference to the word sonic, but I'm specifically saying it was a highly compressed, low resonance series of sonic blasts. I don't know exactly how many there were, but did the job really well. That was the beginning of the destruction of 15 more reptilian undersea bases.
All right.
And
so
I know that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Excuse me for cutting in, but Nancy's just dropped in the baseball game that was going on at the time, and so we'll be able to hear that
sound. Hey everyone, I'm Angela Sun. Welcome to the Yahoo Sports Minute. The old saying goes, you see something new every time you go to the ballpark. In the case of Monday night at Tropicana Field, fans heard something new, and it was a little scary.
That's a halting sound, if we've ever heard one. And what could that possibly be? Somebody shut the door.
According to...
Ooh. Interesting, eh?
Well, I can tell you it was also a lot deeper than that as well. But I'm bringing these things up because I tend to be somebody who only looks at specific information, happenings, but I also look at overall trends. And as I've written on the website, when you look at gentlemen that have come out recently, like within the past 2 or 3 years, like retired defense minister from Canada, Paul Hellyer. When you look at Simon Parks, the UK labor counselor. When you look at the MyLab secret space program gentleman, Good ETXSG Corey. When people like this come out that were at mid and higher levels of the system, and they start speaking out, people have an opportunity to say, something's really going on here. There's a level of knowledge, and this is just recently, like within the past 3 years, there's a level of knowledge that we've never heard before coming from people that are part of the system. And so now Good E.T. Corey is talking about the Sphere Alliance, the Sphere is the Sphere Beings. And I'm making a point of raising this issue because the Andromeda Council, as part of their operations, has 12 biospheres that range from like the size of the planet Pluto to about the size of the planet Jupiter, that are all higher density, higher frequency objects, and they're habitable planets. People live on them. The people live inside them. They don't live on them. They live inside them. And they are right now protecting this solar system and this planet. So the concept of spheres is actually not that new, since I've been talking about it since August of 2011. So it's just, I'm looking at all these pieces of information and the recent people that have come out and spoken recently, and I'm saying, look, folks, there's a reason why this information is coming out. It's indicative of a larger pattern and trend.
And indeed, so, it plays out what you've been talking about for the last few years.
Yes.
And I think that's the important thing, is that also my spirit guides have been saying the same thing, and I've been starting to publish their accounts.
Thank you.
Too.
Yeah, and some people might say, oh, well, yeah, of course. But for people that are just starting to pick up on this information, I think it's important that every once in a while somebody says, hey, look at the data. Look at the data in the context of a longer trend and see if this all makes sense. Where does it point to? I guess from my perspective, that's all I'm saying right now. And the people that have been, again, the people that have been coming out recently, the Simon Parks, the Good E.T. Corey people, the ex-minister of defense for the country of Canada coming out and saying, yeah, there's a Galactic Federation, and we're aware of people from Andromeda and other star systems as well. Just like I'm speaking in plain English, he's come out and said these things. So why are these things being said now? What's going on today that was different from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago? I know some of the answers, but I'm asking the question openly so people can think about and look at these data points in terms of what kind of trend are they indicating. And I'm off my soapbox now. Thank you.
Thanks very much. I'll just respond to that, and then I'll bring in more guests. So there are various things that you brought up. Number one, the sense that things are accelerating. We've all had this sense of acceleration. The sense of more and more freedom. That also seems, in the way of knowing, realizing and understanding that there are freedoms that we can take that we haven't taken because nobody said that they're there. if you see what I mean, and then you start to take them because they are there for you, and you realize that, wow, there's a lot out here that is like walking into a supermarket. You know, people have locked up for years, and you know, everything's still fresh.
Right.
So we've got a lot of. It's like these. They're like superpowers, and I believe that these are connected with the 10 missing strands of DNA, which are coming together. So, and there's also been this kind of 10 plus 2 kind of thing that reflects the DNA, two strands plus 10 missing ones, and then there's a whole thing about, you know, all the rest of the universe is missing, and why can't we see the rest of the universe? Maybe it's because we can't see the rest of us. So that reconnection, that reuniting seems to be happening at the same time as a conscious reuniting with people of collective consciousness. There's a new show out about 8 people who gain each other's skills, memories, everything. Experiences. Just come out. J. Michael Straczynski wrote Babylon 5. It's got a number 8 in it.
The gentleman who... remind me again. Straczynski is...
Babylon 5.
Oh, okay. I was thinking The Matrix and other.
Oh, no. That's Wachowski.
Wachowski.
Yeah, right. That's Jupiter Rising. Which is another film. I'd really recommend everybody watch Jupiter Rising, because, you know, we've heard people talk about the Anunnaki and Enki and Enlil and Ninhursag, and this seems to be about them. And there they are, and they're harvesting Lush. They're harvesting the living essence of humans.
People have been using this term recently.
Lush.
Called Lush.
Yes.
Right? And again, I'll reflect back to my very first interviews back in late 2011 when I was learning all of these things about these underground bases. Now I'll speak to why those underground bases were important, other than the fact that they were bases of operations for reptilians around the planet. Many of those bases, and I don't know exactly how many, but many of those bases had undersea transponders that, if you will, were up on poles that actually beamed an energy beam of a certain frequency to produce heightened states of anger, confusion, fear, avarice, and pick all of, if you will, the negative emotions. And you know, I discussed this with Alfred Weber years ago, how the Draco reptilians, who vibrate at like a really lower 4D dimensional range, they feed off of the negative energy of humans. And just like a couple of months ago, I see Radra and Lush, they're feeding off of Lush. That looks familiar. So, yeah, I'm raising this issue because we're like, aha, again we have confirmation. Something that I was talking about back in August, September, October, November, December of 2011, that this topic is being discussed in a different way, but it's being discussed, it's being brought out into the open. I think that's fantastic.
Feels good, doesn't it? Feels good to be on the right track. You know, you're not just having delusions, and you're not having voices in your head. That this really is the shizzle, as it were.
Yeah. Well said. And the other thing that I've always been amazed at as I've seen these guys come out, retired defense minister of the country of Canada, Paul Hellyer, UK labor councillor Simon Parks, who's been on your show. If this were like 10 or 15 years ago, these guys would have been taken out. They would have been removed, eliminated. They would not have been allowed to speak. I mean, that's my feeling. Today, that's not the case. These guys are speaking. Now, they're not on mainstream television or mainstream radio, but they're speaking. They're speaking around the world. They're publishing books. People are listening. And, of course, the internet is a mode of communication that facilitates global communication among people, like this toll-free conversation we're having tonight. I mean, it's, you know, we're doing this without the use of telephones. But I, you know, it's, I think those points are worth making because guys like them years ago would have been taken out because the system would have not allowed them to speak.
That's another sign that things are changing, definitely. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, you know, the whole thing, you know, the Pope saying sorry, the Pope saying, yeah, sure, ETs, come along, you know. There's, you know, it's getting really, things are getting really obvious now. The whole thing about elections being rigged, you know, that's getting really obvious. The whole thing about false flags, people are more and more starting to track them. There will come a point soon, from what my guides have said, and what you can see really, that there's a point when people are going to catch up to real time, and they'll know when the signs are saying there's going to be an event. They can see the event coming, and they can stop them happening, because they can inject a meme that is an anti-meme to the false flag, because the false flag is a meme. Yeah, so it's an injected meme, and you see all the, they call them talking points, which is basically, you know, brainwashing terms to get the news readers to repeat all the time. You see it on The Daily Show, you know, you see them all say the same phraseology, because it's given to them by a central agency.
Carol Lesson, am I saying this right?
Carol,
who was the... Back in the 70s, she worked with Wernher von Braun, head of the...
Oh, Carol Rosen.
Rosen. I was close. One letter off. Rosen, not Lesson. Carol Rosen. And in a speech she had done, she listed 5 points with regard to attempts, if you will, that the powers that be would use to control people on this planet. And I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but she said the last one, and in fact she listed asteroids and terrorism as two of the cards that the powers would attempt to use to try to eliminate a whole bunch of people on this planet. And essentially she said the last one is the fake alien invasion card. And apparently, Wernher von Braun, Willy, as she called him, said that one to her quite a few times in the last months before his passing. He would just kind of shake his head and he would like, alien invasion. He said, Carol, pay attention. Alien invasion. And we'll see. Now, it doesn't mean that it's real. It doesn't mean it's going to happen. But it does mean that they might attempt to do it. And, you know, as you and a lot of other people know, many of the scout craft, also called unidentified flying objects, they're physical. They're real. The technology is way advanced. And the quasi-military governments of Europe, the US, the UK, all have them. There have been aliens or ETs on this planet for years, including reptilians. They can certainly dress people up any way they need to. So can they attempt to launch a false flag alien attack? Do they have modern technology that has nothing to do with rockets and missiles? They sure do. Will it be allowed to be happen? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think they're going to pull it off. But that's the last card that's supposed to drop, according to Carol Rosen.
And the whole thing about things being allowed to happen, I think the way it happens is that it's not that things are stopped from happening, is that they're allowed to play out, but all the pieces have been rearranged so that it backfires, or the trigger doesn't work, you know?
Kind of like Syria and chemicals. Do you remember that thing? A couple years ago in April? And there was all sorts of lobbying to start this full-scale war. To be, you know, dropped on Syria. Now, here we are a couple of years later, and we have the U.S. launching airstrikes into Syria, but there's no full-scale war. there's no world war being launched against Syria or anybody else in the Middle East. Which brings up ISIS. Where did ISIS come from?
Isn't she an Anunnaki?
Oh, good point.
You know, how many? What is the next terrorist attack cell going to be called? Marduk or something? Or what's the? Is this some sort of stupid joke? it's really not funny. So they're trying to denigrate a goddess, right? Yeah. And so you know, they're really, you know, pooping on the coffee table here. It's like, yeah, come on. I'd just like to also introduce Thomas has joined us on the call, and he's been very quiet and very very patient. So I just want to bring you in and say hi, Thomas. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How are you tonight?
Well, we're all good here. You know, we're having a jolly old talk about the reptilian bases that are being one by one wiped out, and the ones that make them produce loose.
Well, I'm pretty sure that, well, like you're saying, that they're going to run this right to the brink of whatever it is. But, you know, ultimately they're going to have to realize that everyone has a free will choice, and you can only take the people with you that choose to go that way.
Good point.
And that's what they're so mad about. That they're throwing a fit. They're, no, we want it all. We want it all. Just like a bunch of two-year-olds in a candy shop that want it all. They want it all. They can't have it.
Yeah. And or they're going to try to take as many people and souls with them on the way out because, you know, Thomas, as you know, this planet is changing. JP, you're aware of this. At some point in the future, these lower vibrational Draco reptilians or anybody else that's remaining here, they won't survive. They won't. Their own essence won't be able to tolerate the higher frequencies that are coming onto this world that'll transform this world. So they're going to take out as many people as possible on the way out.
Well, yeah, the rest of the tachyon stream should take care of that, don't you think?
Yeah.
Whee! There's nothing like going four. There's nothing like traveling four galaxies in about 8.5 minutes.
So, Nancy, you've been quiet recently. Any thoughts on your end?
Oh, many.
Well, jump in here. Jump in.
Well, my feeling is that the key to the changes that we're seeing, back in November of 2013, I wrote a book called Cosmic Reality. And when I wrote it, it was pretty explosive. I hesitated on a number of subjects, but I went into them anyway. Now that book is old hat. Everybody knows it. But the difference between 2013 and what I see happening now is that when I thought I was finished the book and then realized, no, I had a metaphysical event, I had to go back to the book, what did I miss? And I ended up doing a discussion of how there were all these scientists all over the world for many decades who believed that you cannot have consciousness. You cannot have manifestation without consciousness. Therefore, there has to be a creator God for this biosphere we call Earth. I was given the name Gaia, and I actually did not know. I had heard the name, but I didn't know what it meant. I looked it up. It's a Greek word for Mother Nature. So I started using Gaia in the book, and again, with hesitation, because it was not a typical term. Now you hear the word Gaia continually being said. And I believe that Gaia is the word that represents the power of Gaia, the creator consciousness or the creator God of this biosphere, and that it's a power word. And one day, Jay says to me, what's the G in Freemason? You know, we don't know. But what I think happened is that the powers that were, they bet that Gaia didn't exist, and they bet wrong. She exists.
She sure does.
And the more of us that are committed to her, the more powerful the image becomes within the super consciousness of humanity, which then fuels her with more identity and more power. And I think that, yes, all of the things you say about the Dracos and what's been happening in a 3D kind of environment, even though there's fourth dimensional involved in it, all of that is because Gaia has gotten her power back and is bringing all of this in. You know, take care of these people.
Can I add to what you're saying?
Sure, sure.
If you haven't seen the movie or read the book, I recommend the book. It's the most exacting copy of it. But the movie, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you'd like to see what my life and Tully's life and everybody else's life on the call has been like, it's been that kind of madhouse. I'm done.
Well, actually, the original series that totally turned me on in the 1970s when I was a kid, I remember it happening on the radio, and they were making it up as they went along on this first series. And I've got it. I managed to get it out of some deep old archive. It was all recorded and balanced it and re-equalized it, so it's all sounding good. They're available on the Wolf Spirit Radio's archive as a series. So, and I play them sometimes, you know, like the whole set of the first two real series of the radio show that went on to become a book, then a play. I went to see it as a play in the Rainbow Theatre, and then in Finsbury Park, London. Shout out to Finsbury. And then it was made into a movie, and then it was made into a TV series, and then they had all sequels, and then I think it was made into a rubber duck.
That's an interesting ending. What would be some of, because I've never seen the movie, I've never seen any. I've heard of it, mm-hmm. but I've never seen or read any of it. So if you,
it's the story about a very English man who is dressed in his dressing gown because he's just woken up in the morning before his first cup of tea. Okay, now. Anybody who's ever heard any of my shows would know that an Englishman is not worth very much before the first cup of tea. And some Englishmen, like myself, are not worth anything before the third. You know, it's a long story. But here's the thing. So he wakes up in the morning and he sees out of the corner of his eye this yellow thing. And he's like, oh my God. And he finds out that there's a workman outside with a bulldozer who is just about to demolish his house. To make room for a road that is going to be coming through as a bypass. But here's the thing. This is where it gets interesting, is that suddenly his friend runs along, and his friend's like dressed as a schoolboy with a satchel, with a towel hanging out of it. And before, you used to think I'm just a friend from Guildford. No, I'm actually from Beetlejuice. And we need to hitch a ride in the Vogon spacecraft that's just about to destroy this planet. Let's quickly go have a drink. Because you're gonna need the hydration, and you're gonna need the salted peanuts. And they teleport aboard the ship, and the ship destroys the planet. It was a kind of macro-micro reflection, because it was just like it was making in order to make way for an interstellar bypass, you know. Anyway, long story. That was the beginning of it, and so it's the story of this hapless Englishman who's schlepped around on spaceships, meeting aliens, being thrown out of airlocks. Things get weird. It's brilliant. It's a comedy. It will make you laugh. It's an excellent thing. So everybody, stand by. We are on our own personal Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe with Tolek, Nancy Hopkins, Thomas Hughes. We'll be back. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
Slips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Oh, okay. No, oh, no, oh, no, it's me again. Yes. Oh, where's that voice coming from?
JP, how much of what I was saying did our listeners hear?
Just now, none of it.
Oh, okay.
That's so we're kind of fresh here. So so it's okay. We were off air at the time. So so here I am with a nice little party here. We have Thomas Hughes and Nancy Hopkins and Tolek, and we all have our sort of particular off planet connections, really, don't we? And other dimensional. I mean, it's a very other dimensional kind of group as well. You know, we all have various different experiences in telepathy, remote access, remote healing, and things like that. It's an interesting group. So, where were we, and where were we moving towards? Can anybody remember where we put that pin?
If you don't mind, I'll jump in, Tolek.
Jump right in, Tolek, and talk about what you were talking about during the break.
Okay. I was addressing the fact that I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine from Tucson, Dan Brock, who helped me do the analysis for the movie Interstellar. And we were talking about another movie that came out in 2013. It was a movie short called Closer. And I was describing to him what I saw, and he said, you know, I've seen something that looks just like that. So he sends me across, you know, vis-a-vis the internet, a single JPEG image of a Blue Avion, which you were asking about. And the Blue Avion photograph is taken from the inside of an Egyptian pyramid, which is, of course, thousands of years old. And you look closely at that photograph, and there's an image of this bird-headed humanoid who has a wristwatch on. Now, again, this is thousands of years old. So I said, well, that's really interesting, because I just caught a movie short, which was released in 2013, and he and I were having this conversation a couple months ago. And in this movie short called Closer, there's a reptilian who's chasing this short, blonde-haired ET human woman toward planet Earth. And I produced a compilation of this movie. It's only about six minutes long, so you can get to it on the Andromeda Council website. It's called Closer. But this young woman, interestingly enough, restructures the leading character, the young man in this movie, bumps up his DNA, and puts a wristwatch on his hand, so he can summon all of the higher dimensional energy and power that he has to fight this reptilian and win the day, so to speak. And it's, the movie's available. The full movie is like 36 to 38 minutes, something like that. It's short. It's on the web. But I did this compilation to show what a reptilian looks like and the fact that, oh, look, there's this metaphor of a wristwatch that a movie producer used in 2013, which my friend Dan Brock had just sent to me, of an image that was made thousands of years ago on the inside of an Egyptian pyramid wall of a Blue Avion. So that's one part of the story. The other part of the story is that the Blue Avions are also called Anuans, and they are, if you will, the good first cousins of the bad Anunnaki. And they're good people. They have only good intentions for the people of Earth and this planet's evolution. And the Blue Avions are the people that good E.T. Corey S.G., this gentleman, that's his contact to what is known as the Sphere Alliance. That's as much as I know about them. They're apparently they're one of five races from the original planet Nibiru, which is scooting around through the through deep space. And that's as much as I know. If anybody knows anything more about them, feel free to contribute.
I want to jump in here because you mentioned the watch and the spheres.
Yeah.
We really don't know each other, but I have a radio program with Walt Silva, and Walt Silva if Dolores Cannon's message was correct, that the duty or the mission of humanity is to learn how to manipulate energy, and if energy is the universe is made up of energy, that's what it is, and
so are we. That,
and so are we. And so yeah. Magic is really the manipulation of energy. And so I call Walt a master magician because he does things with energy that are just absolutely mind-bending. So he sends me these devices, and to make a very long story short, he sent me a device that looks like an eye. Now, you really should, if you haven't come in contact with the information about Shungite, it's really fascinating. It's Gaia's gift to make the playing field equal. It's just absolutely magical. But he uses Shungite, so he's got this black eye that's got this magnet in it, and it's a sphere. But when he was casting it, it's resin, and when he was casting it, there was a vortex that opened up on the bottom and created a flat kind of aspect to it, so it sits. So I get it. He doesn't know what it's for. He just knows I'm supposed to have it. So I'm looking, what am I supposed to do with this? And they told me, put it over the fish tank. I have a 55-gallon fish tank. So, okay, no problem. But it's still not operating. I don't know what it's supposed to do. And then I get, it's only one part of a two-part, at least a two-part device. And then Walt comes to me and he says, I got a new device for the smart meter. I'm building it. I'll send it to you. You know what I'm going? It's not for the smart meter. And it wasn't. It was for the sphere. And when we put them together, it started a beam that just takes off. I mean, as soon as you... It takes about... Well, I don't know how long it really takes. I don't think it takes that long. But when we were talking about it, I had a friend over. She was playing with it. And then when she put it together, about 20 minutes later, she looked at it and she went, oh, my God, look at this thing. And there was a beam coming right out of it. You had to second sight it, of course, but you could see it. And so she said, it's some kind of a communication device. So I got the thing back up on the fish tank. It's sitting there. And yesterday I was cleaning. And all of a sudden I'm getting like, no, you have to move this. Now, Walt sent me another device. It's based on monoliths, the dimensions of a monolith from 2001 that JP got fascinated in. So I said to Walt, make me a monolith and ask Jay for the dimensions out of Shungite powder, which is silver saturated. So it's this extraordinary piece of, it's floating in resin and it's just this magical thing. And he sent me one of them, and then he sent me another one that was supposed to go to Jay. And when it got here, I said, this doesn't go to Jay. This belongs with the first one. Sorry, Jay, I never told you that. And so then he made another one for Jay that he sent. But it went together with two other pieces that he had sent me to create what we called a zapper. And that yesterday, they made me line up the zapper so that it is at the same height as the eye and directly across from it. And when I told Walt what they had done, he said, oh, man, he says, it's a two-way street. He said, yes, it's a beacon, because when I asked, I said, what is this thing about? You know, what is this communication thing? And I got this image in my head of this blue avian face, and they said, it's a beacon. And I said, and you know, one of the ways you know that you're hearing real information is when you're confused by it or you argue with it. And that's what I did. I said, what do you mean you need a beacon? If you're in some kind of sphere coming from wherever, why would you need a beacon to get to Earth? And they said, no, to get to your reality.
Right.
And because we're creating a new reality. And they needed to make sure that when they get here or do whatever they're going to do, that they've actually focused in on the right reality. And so I tell Walt about this, and he says, oh, well, they're tweaking the zapper. Now they're going to be able to tweak the reality. You know, so what I'm saying to you is that I think that a lot of what we're seeing everywhere is just more and more of the unraveling of the matrix so that we can see what is real. And the synchronicities are outrageous.
Right, they are. I have a question for you, Nancy. When you were saying... The eye. Are you talking about what would look like a human eyeball socket, you know, like the eyebrow ridge and the shape, the general shape of a person's eye?
No, like the eyeball itself. And the pupil is actually created by a magnet, a circular magnet. So when you look into it, and the way that he sets the resin, he layers it so that one layer is got a gelling agent in it, and when that's there, it creates a everything is suspended within the gel, so it's very dark. It's very not translucent. I mean, not you can't see through it. And right. But when he does the second one, after he puts the magnet in there, he does not put the gelling in it, so that you have almost a clear look to it, even though it's got the shungite powder in it too. So it looks like an eyeball, and it's round. It's a complete sphere. Except wow. for the bottom, like I say, that this vortex happened, and it was an energy vortex. We know anytime you take shungite and you put it with a magnet, it creates a field that is just outrageous. I accidentally put my hand across the top of it. It was out of position, and I never do this with devices. I always am very careful because I've gotten burnt before. But this time I put my hand right over the thing while it was spilling out all this energy. And within a fraction of a second, I went, this is not a good idea, and I'm bouncing off the walls. I was totally out of it. And I get to bed, I go to sleep, I wake up, I'm fine. But the next day, if I put it in exactly the position that I had it when I crossed the beam, oh my God, the pain was outrageous. So I must have, you know, smashed the nerves all the way up from my wrist all the way back to the middle of my back. And I went to the chiropractor. I said, I put my hand over a neutrino beam. I said, you gotta fix my arm. And he's like, okay.
Be careful! So, be careful of those energies that you play with. Amazing. It's an amazing story.
Walt has got one day. He says to me, "We have a radio show on Tuesday nights, and on Wolf Spirit." And he says to me, "I got a sunburn." I said, "Why did you get a sunburn?" He said, "The device." He was building a new device, and I said, "A sunburn." And I got him on Skype after the show, and I was shocked. It was like he had a fourth degree burn. He was like, I've never seen anybody so burnt and not be really burnt, you know? And it was the device he was working on, and I kind of freaked out. I said, Guy, what do I tell him? She said, tell him to turn it off. And I said, right. Turn it off. He said, what do you mean turn it off? I said, just tell it to turn off. And he was like, oh, okay. So he goes into his shamanistic thingy he does in his head, and then he says to me, I don't think it worked. I said, it did. It's just got residual energy. I said, put it on the floor. And when he came back up after putting it on the floor for you know, a couple of seconds, all the red was gone. It was astounding to me. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I could not believe the difference, that all this red was from the energy of what he was dealing with. And another time he accidentally turned one on while it was pointed at him. It was a Lemurian laser crystal. It's in a device, and he accidentally pointed the thing at himself. And the same thing happened. So, yeah, these are very, very real energies. But we're being taught how to manipulate. I tell people, I say, these are devices. We're just learning how to manipulate energy. But the question of the blue avians is because, like I say, all of a sudden I'm getting this communication from these people that I have never encountered until he gives me this weird stuff that, you know, might be a complicated watch for all we know.
Yeah, there's a lot that is manifesting itself these days that we're just learning about. And it'll continue.
Learning fast.
And I've heard from my people that it is, you know, it is going to continue at a rabbit's pace, you know, just faster and faster and faster. And it started at the beginning of this year, sort of, you know, in terms of a hyper acceleration of things and events and knowledge that is ramping up toward the eventual higher dimensional transformation of this planet. It started in late winter, early spring of this year, and it's been going nonstop. It's been an amazing ride. Like I've said to JP and Thomas before, this is an amazing time to be on this planet. I feel really blessed. I really do.
And I feel so bad for those people that are still not awake, because they're missing the greatest show in the universe. You know, things that Simon said in the last couple of shows, he's mentioned it, but he was talking about the DNA. And he was saying that, in effect, the human DNA, has been manipulated to the point that the human DNA, when it's completely there, all 10 or 12 strands, depending on who's talking, when it's all there, you actually have DNA from every one of the major ET soul families. And that because you have the etching of that soul family, you can go anywhere this soul family is, whereas other ET people who do not have this smorgasbord of DNA, they cannot go to certain places within the universe or the galaxy. And go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, this now makes a lot of sense. My predecessor, Alex Cogger, who still speaks every once in a while, he talks about why the Earth human is so special. And he talks specifically about DNA. And he has specifically said, I'm going to kind of paraphrase, that we as Earth humans on this planet are highly regarded by many ET races because they consider us royalty because we have so many DNA, genetic, and soul, if you will, strands of all these ET races across the cosmos. At least, I think, 22 of them he talks about. And so now, hearing what you said, now I understand the context of what he was talking about. That's why we're royal. That's why we're royalty. Because we're this kind of super blend of all these ET races across the cosmos. And they've, like, as a lot of people have learned, we've been tweaked with many, many times over millennia.
So that brings me back to another question, which is the 10 and the 2, the 12. And I'm looking here, I looked at, because you said the Egyptian gods, so I, you know, Googled the Egyptian gods, and sure enough, we're looking, here's Horus, and he does seem to have, I mean, they've got a kind of armband that goes right up in the armpit, which looks pretty uncomfortable, and what looks like a wristband. And not all of them have it. Most of them have the armband, I'm looking. There's one.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the famous ones, there's Horus and Set and Tot and Khnum and Hathor and Torbek and Ra and Amun and Ptah and Anubis and Osiris and Isis. And it's like, who do we still have? Them out of those 12, there must be a representative two remaining. Because I believe that the whole story of the 12 tribes and the 10 lost tribes and this and the zodiac and all of the systems of 12, they're all linked together. And that they all represent the rejoining of the 12 strands of DNA. Now, Tolek, do you have any information on that?
I don't. I've never done any serious inquiry into the makeup of the human genome. You know, this topic of DNA that we're talking about. That just hasn't been an area of interest that I've discussed with my Andromeda Council contacts.
Thank you.
You know, other than what I just mentioned regarding what I learned from Alex Collier, what he said years ago.
Yeah,
connecting those two points of what Nancy was just saying and what Alex has said about us being highly regarded as royalty.
Well, yeah, we're a mix. Yeah, we're a mix. Our women have found favor with everybody, and you know, it's in some ways we're like, you know, I don't know. Thomas, have you heard anything from your end? People that have been saying things like anything like what I've just been talking about, or was it just wittering about 12s?
Well, I can tell you that one of the ones that hasn't been taken into account is the Sasquatch people, because they are people. And they're as much part of this world as we are.
JP, I just sent you this image that I have of one of the Egyptian gods with the wristband. The looks like a watch.
Okay, I'm picking that up. You can collect that. Pull, I see.
See it?
I can't. Well, I haven't got it yet, so it's coming.
It's small.
So yeah, what do?
Can I just jump in?
Go ahead, Nancy.
Okay, I just wanted to point something out, because if Tolik hasn't looked at it, it might be something that will add to his enlightenment regarding the DNA,
sure,
as it did me. Over in the West, they only look at 10% of the DNA. The rest of it they call junk. Over in Russia, they go, what do you mean? 90% of it is not junk. And they've been looking at this, and there is just a massive amount of information regarding what they've discovered with DNA. And what it comes down to is that the DNA creates like a biological internet. And it's the vibration of each given DNA strand that is the communication device. It's the resonation of the energy of one that keeps the system going. And they found that the most potent thing that can change DNA, can actually change DNA, is the human voice.
Yes.
So if you think of in terms of having all of this DNA, that we're only working on two strands, and now all this junk DNA, because see, if you take the mathematics of the DNA strand and you plug in another series of DNA strands to it, they all plug in. It's like it's missing the DNA strands in a visual way. You can see it. So once these things are all plugged in, the ability of the human being to tap into all of those internet systems of all of the soul families, I think that not only are we being looked at as royalty, but we're being looked at as a massive threat to somebody, because it goes back to that concept. Well, you read the Keys of Enoch. When they do, they talk about the Adam Cadman family that was created as being this perfect reflection of the God's source, and that there were what became known to us as the fallen angels, who say, we're the angels. We're next to God, not these Adam Cadmans, that turn out to be the humans that were then manipulated within this environment to forget and not know and have their DNA mucked with. But again, behind any one of these stories is, we know that the source is got more knowledge than any of the bad guys even. So sometimes I think the bad guys come in and do things like muck around with our DNA in a plan that they don't even know they're involved in. It's a massive chess game we're in, and all I know is that the farther we get down this gaming board, the more we're understanding the strategy, the more we're understanding. And that's because, in my opinion, that the people like you and that have been out there for so long saying, you know, telling the truth regardless of the consequences, and Jay and myself and so many, many others just kept telling the truth, it fed the consciousness, the super consciousness. And so now we are so much saturated that it's coming back down at everybody. And so they're turning on without knowing what in the heck is happening. You know, all of a sudden they're just different. It's because Gaia and the human beings have come together to create a new reality. And that's what we're doing.
Yeah, Thomas. Yeah, please. And I was going to ask, what do your people, what do your Sasquatch people have ever said about the concept of Gaia, of a feminine energy source unique to this planet? Or have they addressed that topic at all?
I haven't ever asked them that topic, but I will tell you one topic that I wanted to address that may add to what she was saying. They address the topic of belief with me. And believing is fine, but if you believe without evidence, or you have no way to know. You don't have experience or evidence to have knowledge of that, so you don't know. You just believe, and that's one half of the equation, and it's incomplete. Now, the reason that they emphasize that so strongly is because when you're a kid, you can imagine things, and everything you imagine is real, because everything is real to a 7-year-old. But then, at some point, adults and kids around you start telling you that's just your imagination, that's not real, and then they get you to believe. So they harness the imaginative, creative power that you have in the word belief. And you manifest those things into your reality with your belief, and you don't realize you're doing it. Because you were taught to turn your imagination off when you were a kid because you had disapproving adults that were saying, that's just your imagination, that's not real. Well, I'm sorry to tell everyone, I've been struck by lightning and I can tell you, it's real.
Well, you know, that concept of the imagination is interesting because, again, Walt and I did a dual journey. He's up in Minnesota, I'm down here in Miami, but we did this dual journey. And during it, I won't get into the details of it, but at the end of it, they explained that we were missing the imagination DNA. That the strand, not the third strand, but a DNA strand that carries imagination to a point that it cannot be manipulated. Like, you know, that somebody tells you, you can't do this. It's like something that is so part of a human being, the imagination, the ability to create out of nothingness. That's why they screwed with our dream sequences by making dream cities. Because if you're going to use imagination in the 3D world the way that I was made to understand it, then you do it in a dream state where you can practice it so that when you're dreaming, you're not affecting the 3D manifestation. Because we're that powerful. So in the dream state, you get to exercise your imagination. And with these artificial creation of these dream cities that people get sucked into, they're not dreaming. They're not using their imagination. They feel like they're locked up. They feel like they got to escape even though there's no seemingly known enemy. That is an indication that we're not dreaming correctly and using our imagination. And I believe now that that third strand, I'm not saying the third, number three strand, but the strand that carries the imagination has already been activated.
Yep.
That's one of the reasons that people are now being able to grasp what we're telling them.
Let's just clear things up here for a second. I like to put forward the idea that instead of calling it imagination, let's call it imaging.
There you go.
Because if you call it imaging, then it's something that you're doing like a verb, as opposed to something that is just kind of drifting around and you're drifting into it sort of thing. It's like you're consciously creating something with your imaging system. That sounds a lot harder and more dimensional, three-dimensional, than because the word imagination has been taken out of our vocabulary, really, hasn't it?
Well, I would like to offer a piece of, I don't know, corollary information. A few years ago, some gentleman wrote books, which turned into, I think one was The Key, another one was The Message, and the essence of these books, which became movies, is that if each of us, as a conscious, intelligent, awake, aware human, puts our intention onto something, and then we give that intention, which means to intend to do something, if we give that intention attention, ATTEN, if we give that intention, attention, if we give it energy, if we focus on it, it's highly likely that we're going to manifest a result. Because in both cases, you're providing personal power. Now, interesting that the word imagination, the baseline for that word is image. What is image? An image is a graphical representation of something. I think, to use 3D words, if you look at the concept of many people who are and have become famous across the globe, public speakers, book authors, famous sports personalities, golfers. I literally heard a golfer in March or April, I guess it was April, upon winning the Masters, he was describing how he saw himself sink the putt before winning the Masters, days ahead of time. So he imaged his own future reality. Image, imagination. He actually pictured it. So you take.
There you go.
Yeah, you take intention. You intend to do something. You give it attention. You give it energy. And this guy kind of wraps it all up by picturing what he wants as an end result. I don't know what it all means, except that we can manifest, and even in my own, quite honestly, my own humble life, when I have done that process, I've been amazed at how fast that process works. And it simply takes me taking action to intend something, to give it energy. Sometimes I see it in my mind's eye, but mostly I'm giving it the kind of energy like, this is good for me, I want this to happen. And most of the time that I've done things like that, based on my own intuition, they come true, because I'm giving it all of that energy.
Well, we tell people that what they should do is they should image what they want, but then to allow the energy from their heart to actually propel it. Because we know that the heart has got more power than the mind ever did. And
thank
it
you.
takes a bit of working at it. But once you understand the mechanism, and it's, you know, you just got to play with it. Nobody can teach this to you. You've got to know your own body. But you just
right.
let the heart energy feed that thought, and boom, it goes out. And the other thing that we've discovered is that you're a lot safer if you image a emotion, like, I want to feel joy, instead of saying, well, if I get a new husband or if I get a new house, I'm going to be joyful. Because you're limiting the universe when you do that. But if you just think in terms of, I want to be joyful, I want to feel that incredible feeling of accomplishment, if you put those emotions out, the chances of you hitting it right are immensely higher.
Well, and those emotions are generated from that topic that you addressed just a moment ago, the heart. And I'll tell you, just as a brief story, brief comment, there was a gentleman who wrote a kind of like an editorial piece on some work that I did. And he was basically criticizing me for telling people that I should lead with their hearts, lead with their intuition. I still stand by that topic of lead with your heart. Another way to say it, lead with your intuition, lead with your emotion. I never told people, don't use your brains. I didn't tell people, don't double check with data and facts. I just said, try leading with your heart, and you'll probably get a better level of discernment. You'll probably get a better level of intuitive knowing to lead you wherever you need to go.
Can I compliment what you're saying for a moment?
Sure.
That's one of the repeated sayings from the Sasquatch people to myself and other people is, get out of your head and into your heart.
There you go.
And so, from our hearts to the TARDIS, Doc Who.
I say, actually, may I place?
Yeah, I say.
I couldn't stand it anymore. I just had to call in. It's been such a great show, and everybody's doing such a job. But not only am I involved in the Shungite revolution in a small way and hoping to do it in a very large way very soon, I'm also involved in the 432 Hertz tuning revolution. And I think I've mentioned it, and JP, I know you're aware of it.
Oh, yeah. In fact, if you can maybe get with Cortec. You know Cortec in the chat room?
Yes, I do.
Get with Cortec, because he's got a little project that we're working on that is to do with the 432 thing. And so get with him and see what you can come up with, if that's all right.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we've got a little thing.
I wanted to mention that you combine listening only to 432 Hertz music with Shungite, and you've got a double-barrel shotgun. Do you agree?
Yeah, well, I've got a few samples. I have, for instance, 432 hertz and the Schumann wave modulated with each other. And one day I'm going to get around to modulating a Shungite spiral or some kind of Shungite-based transmitter with this little thing. I don't have much time to mess around, but I've been playing with electronics recently, and I built a little box the other day, and I thought, this is good fun. So I'm going to maybe do some interesting little experiments with crystals and shungites and see what comes up. It's funny. Oh, by the way, anybody who's ordered some shungite from me, they'll be dispatched tomorrow. I managed to get around to doing them today, so they're all packaged and boxed. So that's anybody who might be listening and who's made some orders. Anybody who hasn't made in some orders, make some orders, because I've made up a few batches. I've got some patches and stuff and shungite things and bits and pieces. They're different from the shungite things from Nancy's site. I have some shapes and also my girlfriend makes beautiful jewelry with the rounded tumblestones. So anyway, we all have our own little niche of it, so to speak. So
okay, Jay,
Nancy, go ahead.
Before you leave the subject, tell them what your website is. My website is cosmicreality.net.
Good point.
And yeah, because that's what happens, and they go, where are you at? But mine, cosmicreality.net, and his is?
everbeyondradio.com.
There you go.
Yeah, and there are links on the Wolf Spirit Radio site. If you go to our relative shows, I'm doing the site up at the moment, and soon I'll have a way of showing all the hosts in a list as well as by the shows. It's taking a while for me to write it because I've got a million other things that I'm doing, but it's good fun, and I'm making some improvements. Who's bursting? Who's next? This is like a Quaker meeting.
Do you have any other callers, JP? People with questions?
Actually, Doc, have you called in with a question for Tolek? Or for Thomas, or for Nancy, or for me.
Did I?
Did ye? Yes. Yeah, you. You, Doc who?
I think we just...
Who are you? You who? You who?
Listening to you guys is like riding a raft in a whitewater river. It's hard to wind back all that far.
What are you saying?
We've been doing it a while.
Too long.
I've got a question for Thomas about the Sac. I'm sorry, the Big Feet. What's the name of them?
Oh, you just call him Harry. Harry, folks, you can call him that.
Because I'm fascinated with them. Before I ever heard of them, my brother was out in the woods in Massachusetts and unfortunately had a .22 with him and took a pot shot at one. But he absolutely describe somebody that, you know, we've come to know as Bigfoot. But long before I'd heard anything, I mean, I was a kid, I was 12 years old, and I'm 67 now, so it was a long time ago. So to me, the first time I started really hearing about them, I knew that these things were real, that these are some real entities. Are they a byproduct of humanity, or are they from an ET civilization? Are they indigenous to Earth? I mean, Can you give me some information on them? Because they fascinate me.
The answer to all those questions would be yes.
Yes.
But there's more questions to ask about them. Where are they originally from? That's not quite known. Because they've been around as long as humans have been around. All over the known galaxies, not just this one. Some galaxies, they're 80 feet tall. With no problem whatsoever. Of course, the planet they live on is probably about five times the size of Jupiter. So, size is relative to the planet they're living on.
And are they, I mean, within the Earth sphere, do they want to get friendly with us or not? I mean, it's just like, we see them, but then we don't see them. And are they able to shapeshift or put some kind of cloaking on that they seem to just be able to come in and out and disappear?
They can change the physical frequency of their body so that they go to a faster frequency, and you see light that's reflected at a certain frequency off a body that's resonating at a certain frequency. And so if that body, just like an airplane propeller, you know, when it gets to a certain speed, you see all five blades, and it looks like it's moving real slow, but you can see the wind moving and the engine roaring. See that propeller is really going fast. So the frequency, you can see it once it crosses into our resonance for a moment. And that's one of the reasons why you can see shadow people with relative ease in your peripheral. When you turn your head directly at where you think you see someone at, there's no one there. Because your eyes are tuned for the frequency that the Schumann resonance is vibrating at. That's it.
Thomas, that's a great explanation. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful metaphor.
Well, that sounds like the Philadelphia experiment, Project Rainbow. That's how it works. It's the Schumann resonance. They had these massive amplifiers, valve amplifiers, that instead of glowing red hot, you know, like you see Jimi Hendrix and he's got his stack of Marshalls and they got a little glow behind them. These ones were glowing like white light bulbs, you know, and they had thousands of them. And so it was really, they really cranked up this massive amplifier that cranked out at the Schumann resonance, 7.83 cycles.
Well, I'll give you an amplifier that can't be beat. That's the air evacuation tunnels, the emergency ventilation tunnels they have in these underground military bases. And when the Procyon people take their extra special instrumentation and begin to resonate those great big long hollow tubes, it makes this roaring note that people hear all over the world, these strange sounds.
It's like a big didgeridoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Well said.
And if you think it's loud up here where we're at, you ought to be down there in one of those underground military bases. It's deafening. It's deafening.
Well, sound, energy, compression, cause and effect.
Yeah, and apparently the reptilians don't like those pressures, do they? They're more sensitive to the pressure changes.
I can assure you that, like, no one likes the thumping loud music from cars that go by with teenagers or young people. They like it even less. They like it even less. I can assure you.
Yeah. And there's certain frequencies that are highly agitating, I'm just going to say it that way, to the reptilian brain. Whether that reptilian is has manifested a 3D organic form, or is in its natural lower 4D state, it can do severe damage to them. So no, they don't like it at all. No. But hey, you know, they have been manipulating, abusing, controlling, and eating us for years. So
exactly, we can annoy them a little bit.
Yeah, long story short, it's time for our freedom, and we're going to become higher dimensional humans on this planet, and there's not a damn thing they're going to be able to do about it. In the end, there's nothing they can do about it, because this transformation is coming. That train is going through the station, and it's going to its destination, for lack of better words.
So I found it. I found that little file I made. So I'm going to give you all a blast of this. Is 432 hertz, phase shifted with the Schumann resonance. Check this out. There we go. So
do 440.
Hmm?
Do the 440 hertz. You see the difference.
I haven't bothered with 440. That's just what's the point? I just work at 432. Anyway, go ahead, Yotolik.
Are either of you gentlemen familiar with an organization that calls itself Ekinkar?
Ekinkar.
I haven't heard that term in a long time.
Okay, so
long time. Go ahead.
Ekinkar, I believe. What I was reminded of upon hearing that tone you just played is what happens when a number of people who choose to participate in the Ekinkar path, if you will, when they get together in a room, 15, 20 or more, and they make this sound called "hew." Well, think of 15, 20 or more people all doing that single note of "hew" at the same time, and I'd make a bet that it comes really close to that 4-3-2 resonance. And it's they advocate that the sound of "hew" is the vocal expression of the sound of the Creator, of creation, of God. So,
In a parkour-like segue, which is excellent piece of information there, the "hew," right?
Uh-huh.
As my Facebook feed is passing by me, I come across Dr. Hugh Len of Ho'oponopono fame. If anybody's never heard of Ho'oponopono, if you're still full of guilt and lack of forgiveness, it will release you and your inner child and make you happy again. And that will really annoy reptilians, so please do it, even for the sake of just annoying the reptilians.
That's great.
His name is Dr. H-E-W, then a space, then L-E-N. I think, is he from Hawaii or the Philippines or somewhere like that? But it's the science of forgiveness, of Ho'oponopono, which is... Go ahead.
I think KP, Kawila Pelli, WordPress, I think he's spoken of this gentleman at least a few times. He's in Hawaii.
That's right. But if you're interested in healing your inner child of your traumas from your life, check that out. Go to the inner child, type in inner child and Hugh Len, and H-E-W-L-E-N. And it will release so much pent-up stress and energy inside of you to do that, because you can...
Well, I turned 70 last month, and I have no intentions of growing up at this point.
Of growing up. Well,
your
that's good.
Your inner child is in charge, I take it.
Do you want to be a musician when you grow up?
Been. That's why the reptilians leave me alone.
It's not the tobacco, is it? Anyway... where are we? We're about 10 minutes away. Where's the last nuggets? Let's say for instance, Tolek, you've got a new announcement. So tell everybody about how to find you, where your videos are. Are you on Facebook? Are you on social networking? Are you on Scene? Are you on Unseen? Are you Twitter? Do you tweet? Do you ruffle? Do you laugh mayo?
I keep this part of my life very simple. People can find any of the information that I write or speak about at ANDROMEDA, Council, C-O-U-N-C-I-L, AndromedaCouncil.com. It's a website. I just wrote an extensive article today called it's dated June 15th, 2015, and it's called An Era of Increasing Knowledge for the People of This Planet, a Major Update. For anybody that is interested in listening to any of the conversations, discussions, and or interviews I've been in, they're up on YouTube is YouTube/Tolek with a T-O-L-E-C from Dakota. D as in dog, A-K-O-T-E. And that's the YouTube channel. If people want to write to me, use the messaging service within YouTube and address it to Tolek from Dakota. That's it. The website and the YouTube channel. I keep it simple because that's all I want. That's the easiest way for me to manage this part of my life as I work and do many other things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great. Yeah. So that's, thank you. That's, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thomas.
Thanks for having me, by the way.
You're very welcome. It's thank you for coming. It was, you know, it was very spontaneous.
Last minute.
And even though I got hammered at the beginning of the show, everything's turned out very well. We have had good communications. So thank you to the Lord of whichever one of those funny bird-like people we saw on that list. And a lot of them were wearing like a... Yeah, but I see it now, the wristwatch. It reminds me.
Yeah, see?
Now, what's interesting is that it may not be a wristwatch. I think because it's connected by wires to something under his cloak, it may be a kind of control panel or a display, even more high-tech than a wristwatch, perhaps.
Hmm.
Because it leads wires lead off it into, you know, perhaps it's like a flight control or wings or... and there's this other thing, that big kind of acorn thing that he's holding... connects somehow with a like a handbag thing that he's holding in the other hand that looks like a kind of maybe a battery pack.
But yeah, Dan Brock sent this to me after I was speaking to him about this movie short called Closer, and the young human male, he's in his like late 20s, this ET human female gifts him with the upgrade to his DNA and this wristwatch which taps into his higher dimensional power. And then Dan sends me this image. And I went, "Hey, that looks a lot like what I saw in that movie." So it's, you know, it's information.
It definitely looks like a watch because if you look at it, you can see the hours, 12 hours.
Yes. Yeah. And it's amazing. So, information comes from so many different sources. You know, we all play a role. All of us.
Thomas, do you have a website or place where people can get hold of you and ask you questions? Or do they just have to wait till you come to the show?
Well, they can find me on Facebook at Thomas Hughes 946. They can find me there. Or they can find me on Skype at thomas.hughes3710.
Thomas.hughes.
Either one works.
Yeah, so what's your how would people recognize which Thomas Hughes you would be?
Well, it's a 3710. There's only one 3710 in Skype, and there's only one 946 on Facebook. It's it's a bunch of buffaloes standing in the woods.
Buffaloes
on Skype.
In the wood. There we go. That's the one. Buffaloes in the wood. So that's great. So thank you everybody for coming. Nancy's site, before I forget, is cosmicreality.net. Hey, have you got any more? Have you got like a .com?
I do, but I don't have it up. I own it, but I didn't put it up.
All right, okay.
We're a network, you know. Nobody's in command of anything.
Okay.
maybe the Andromeda Council, but
No. There, as a matter of fact, they do make up about 50% of this being talked a lot about Sphere Alliance. They make up 50% of that overall Sphere Alliance that Good E.T. Corey is talking about. So they've been busy. I will tell everybody that there have been a lot of meetings going on, more than any other time. This is definitely a busy time in this planet's history. It's just trying to
thank
stand
you,
top Tolik. Things.
Thank you, Thomas. Oh. Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.